Hi, and welcome to the Marvel Rivals Review, a podcast where three men in their 30s and one that's missing, so four men, talk about things Marvel Rivals, from the news to the balance and all the inevitable drama that comes with being an online community. So I am Conrad Gunther, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Dahita Work,
hello,
and Vance Helsing Gaming.
Hello, hi.
Florida Man is also a part of this podcast now, but he decided he wanted to go raving or partying.
Yeah, he said they're not important. He did one episode and was like, you know what?
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I love Florida.
I think he's starting actual fires out there in Florida. So I think that's what he's doing.
I thought he was wrestling alligators. Isn't that what Florida Men do?
They wrestle alligators all day. A menace to society.
Yeah.
P.S. Post note. We're recording this. Forgot to add it. We are going to be me. The devilishly handsome, cool, and good-looking and talented one. I'm going to be on the Marvel Rivals Assemble podcast on Thursday. They're going to have me on a guest. This is awesome. Those are a real bunch of cool dudes. Please follow them if you haven't. Check them out. And enjoy the crossover. All right. So, what's up, guys? How have you been this last week?
Oh, man, I've been good up until today. I'm thicker than a dog, but I'm here talking to you folks, you lovely folks.
Oh, thanks, man, for calling us lovely. But
That was nice. I got a new gaming desk. I can put all three of my monitors on.
Hey, that's what's up.
Nice.
It's not actually a gaming desk. It's like an office desk, but it's nice. Yeah, it's like real modern. Fucking with it. Oh, freaking with it. Darn it.
Quack.
Quack.
All right, Vance.
I'm good. We went to Big Lots today because, you know, Big Lots is going out of business. And we bought 18 items and saved $64 because everything was like 60 to 70% off. It was. I'm going to start going to more store closings because that was amazing.
Is that where we're at in our lives? It's like, guys, $64 I saved.
Do you go thrift shopping yet? Oh my God.
So, to demonstrate how old I am, I slept on my neck wrong, and I cannot turn my head to the right without absolutely crushing my neck. Dang. It hurts.
Have you slept on your lower back wrong before and just been walking around like the like, oh, I can't move.
It's the struggles of growing old, man. This sucks.
Gosh.
One more thing before we get started on here. I want to complain about something.
Yeah.
Ooh.
The entire basis of this world is discriminatory against people that are 5'7" or less.
Yeah.
All right.
Man, I bet we're going somewhere else with that. Okay, I was like, yeah. Like, never mind.
No.
He's not. Even.
Please tell our black co-host during the month of February how hard we're about it.
Go ahead.
It's not fair, man. So, like,
I
went to go get my haircut today, and they had like the coat racks or whatever to hang your coats up. I had to stand on my tiptoes to hang my coat up. It's designed for people that are 6'5". I'm 5'7", all right? I can't.
Listen,
it's.
I'm like,
I don't need you air quoting. Oh my God.
But I am 6'7", 6'7" and a half, something like that. Yeah. And it is not, the world is not built for me. Cars, houses, freaking Japan, all of it.
Wait, why Japan in particular?
Because everything's tiny there, and I really want to go, but like I would hit my head on the roof walking into the stores.
But
yeah,
it would also be terrified of you at a level that you just like, you don't see much more anymore here. Dude.
Like it's crazy. They see my face, and they're just like, "Oh man, let's talk to this guy." I go in public, everybody wants to talk to me. I don't know why, but
they think you're Shaq's cousin or something.
They're just like, "You got a nice face." I'm like, "All right, well."
Okay, I don't think anybody is saying that to you, but you know what? I'll let you live in that world.
Again, I have a real calming face. I've heard that from multiple people just in my life. Like your face just gives me peace.
All right, well, now please finish telling our audience why you're upset you can't reach the top shelf in your kitchen.
Because it's BS, man. Like I am average human sized. I should be able to reach anything that I need to. I'm seeing those air quotes, and I'm gonna throat punch you. We don't condone violence on this podcast. Unless it's me against Conrad, then it's allowed.
Unless they deserve it.
Well, hang on. But yeah, like, it's so difficult for me to, like, because I, do you know how inconvenient it is? This is first world problems, by the way. Inconvenient it is that I have to go get a ladder or go get a step stool to reach something that somebody who is 6 foot tall can just reach their arm up and just do it.
You know, even worse than that is when you have to put a phone book on your car seat so that you can see above the dashboard.
Oh, wow.
I do get yelled at a lot at work because I drive the cars a lot. And since I'm short, I scoot the seat like almost all the way up. And I use the little lever that pumps the air into the seats to raise the seat up. And everybody's like, we cannot get in the car after you because you are not normal. You're tiny.
I'm 5'8", right? And I'm 5'8". And my dad is the same height as me, but he somehow, when he drives my car, will put it all the way fucking back and just like be driving with his like tiptoes or whatever.
I don't get it. How do people do that?
I don't know. I old woman that shit, you know, I'm like right above my steering wheel, like, I can't see, it's dark outside.
All right, my rival. We gotta get on it.
Okay, sorry.
No, I haven't done about my week.
I guess we do slightly care about you.
I had the flu and it sucked. It sucked. Oh, but bright side, Friday came season 1.5. A new patch.
Go.
Two new. Wow, that was super enthusiastic. We're going to redo that. A new patch. Two new characters. And a new map.
Let's go!
Let's go!
Woo! All right. Yeah.
There's the hype.
Oh, I said that again. Oh.
But before we do that, there's one thing I want to talk about our last episode, actually. So the last episode, we talked about smurfing a little bit, and I think I was kind of misunderstood by a few members of the community, but we had a really like a good talk today about smurfing in our Discord, and it was like the most polite and professional and, you know, like non-judgmental gaming conversation I think I've ever had, where people like looked at each other's opinions and like gave way. It's like, you know, I don't agree with this point, but I can see this or something like that. So a little bit wild, but I want to be very clear. I do not condone smurfing for the sake of smurfing, right? I do not condone that you purposely throw games to hang out in lower elos and just wreck lobbies. I don't condone that. I don't condone starting new accounts so you can play your best characters to absolutely hit on people worse than you. My whole point was being like, I just think it's okay when you create a new account to learn a new character or role that is wildly different than the ones you play at a lower lobby, so you're not throwing your games. And now I know some people, and I saw some of the Spotify comments, think that, you know, you can practice, that's like okay practicing new heroes in your new lobbies, but as a one trick Mr. Fantastic, right? I took Mr. Fantastic all the way to GM2, almost Celestial. And I don't want to go in on like the Human Torch or Captain America or like characters I just don't have the time on to lose those people, those games, because then it's just going to get toxic and I'm just going to be back to playing Mr. Fantastic. I think it's okay to create a new account that hard. And yes, some of my skills are going to translate over and I'm going to bully the hell out of people up to about plat. But, you know, my win rate really started evening out around then. I mean, it's still like 75%. But, like, you know, you're only smurf. You blow through those lower ranks so fast, the amount of games you're ruining are really low. And like I said, it's because I just want to learn a new character. It's not that I want to ruin people's days, right?
Yeah. I get it.
Also, back to the Discord discussion that we had. This is your opportunity. Go join the Discord. Join in on the conversations. Tell Conrad how he is a terrible person for doing this. Even though he is, I feel he is very validated.
And also, like, I don't even think I'm that good at the game. I think GM isn't as good as people like think it is. It's like a diamond peak in Overwatch, and I imagine that's where I feel like GM players are, is like diamond. So like, I don't think GM's that good. I know a lot of people aren't there, and there's a whole new influx of people into the hero shooter genre, so maybe I'm wrong, but like,
I mean, I'm a silver player, and I think GM's pretty high. And you know, I'm with the lower, you know, 70% of the player base, so that's pretty high up there.
Well, there's a thing too. It's like, you know, true Eternity players and Celestial players, GM's like a lull. You know, like those guys are shit. Like, there's like this stepping stone of like ranks and everybody below. Like, I don't know. Like, this is the level you go. I'm just saying, your rank really doesn't matter. It's okay. It's okay to be bad at the game. We're all bad at the game, besides like the two people at the top of the ladder who have won like 90 out of the 100 games they played because they're insane. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So,
all right. You guys got any more to say about Smurfing?
Yeah. I mean, just get good. I said it last time.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, yeah. And I think there's a difference between Smurfing and having an alt account. Like, Smurfing and, like, I think the negatory of one is where you, like, purposely keep your rank low so you can just spam people, versus, like, an alt account where people blow through those low ranks really quickly.
Yeah. And you're going to do that on any account if you're good, so.
And, you know, maybe this is a place for other rivals to step in, and, like, maybe they should think about having a placement system so that doesn't happen. So, like, you know, maybe people start in Diamond or whatever. Based on their skill.
Yeah, that's what should happen, is they need to implement a placement system just to prevent that. Because if they can figure out a way for quick play to take S or your SR into like your lobbies, or figure out how to do that, then, because quick play is just not consistent enough with the ranks, because there are going to be games where you're just nothing but bronze, or you're going to have like those games where there's four Celestials and they're kicking the crap out of you, so you're not going to get that consistent gameplay that you get from competitive.
And I mean, I think also another point is, like, the system it is right now is, like, there's going to be unintentional smurfs no matter what without a placement system. Yeah. Because only half the population plays comp. You can see that, because once you climb to bronze 2, you're higher than 50% of the player base. And so let's imagine there's, like, an Eternity level player. They just haven't played comp yet, but they're really good at the game. And they just haven't touched comp yet for whatever reason in their life. Like, that's, you know, those people are going to blow through those lobbies too. They're not being placed. They're like, and that could be like a lot of
Winter Soldier, and they're going to walk on you. It's going to be a bad time.
Yes.
All right. So let's talk about the two new characters that were introduced in this patch. Let's start with the Human Torch, Johnny Storm.
Well, here's the thing.
Okay, here's the thing. I'm with
you.
Where was the thing?
We're gonna talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah. That's my favorite.
All right. So let's talk about the Human Torch's abilities real quick, just in case people might not be aware of how some of these work.
That's
not
me.
Everybody goes,
I don't know how anything works. I haven't done anything or looked at patch notes or anything. So this is all a blind reaction.
Yeah. Get on your job.
What a shitty podcast is.
You keep making me have to quack things. Quit it.
Deserved. Okay, so the Human Torch, his primary fire is like a shotgun, kind of. Throws fire. Projectiles, yep. It's hard. It's actually hard for me to hit. It feels so slow.
You gotta do it up close. It's not. It's only for up close, literally.
Yeah. And his alt fire, he throws down fireballs that do a little bit of explosion damage, and they leave behind a flame field, right? Now, those flame fields have two real purposes. One, they do AoE damage. That, like, standing in that flame field will do AoE damage. So three purposes, really. His E connects multiple flame fields and forms, like, a cage. And anybody inside that cage takes damage. Yep.
What?
Yeah, no, the Human Torch is pretty cool. And also, cool. Any flame field explodes when he uses his Goomba Stomp and
boom.
Comes down and boom. Right?
There's a boom, too, when you do it.
Yeah, it does a boop too, and it explodes any flame fields that are close enough, so it does a pretty good damage. It's really fun killing squishies.
Wait, Vance, do you know what the alts do?
No, I know literally nothing about what came out with this patch.
Go ahead, Conrad, tell him what it is.
So, his alt, he flames on, but he doesn't say that. It's just like, I hate.
Yeah.
He doesn't say flame on. Like, what the hell?
That was weird. Like, they got the clobbering time thing on point. Yeah.
Like, what the hell, Marvel? What are you doing
voice actor all on point killed it.
Oh yeah. But his alt, he goes supernova, and instead of putting down flamethrows, he puts down little fire tornadoes that do like 100 DPS a second. He can have like four of those out during his alt. It's fun time.
No, the cool thing. Tell him.
But he has a team up with Storm.
Yeah.
And
okay.
They can combine their ultimates to form one giant fire tornado.
Super fire tornado.
I'm sorry. What?
Yes.
Now
we're just combining ults. That's where we're at with the game.
Okay.
It's so juicy.
Yeah, it's a team up. It's the only one that combines ult. You have to use two ults to do it, but it extends the duration of the tornado, increases its damage, and increases how fast it goes.
It's
so
worse.
It kills through most support ults. if you have follow-up damage. A support ult can still cause people to survive through the fire damage, but if there's any follow-up damage from any other source, someone dies. Yeah.
Wow. Like,
but so you have to really commit two support ults to completely counter it, or play smartly with one support ult. But yeah, it'll never be seen in ranked, hardly ever.
Yeah.
Because Storm is just going to stay instant banned forever.
Yeah,
she's not
yeah.
coming back to the game. Her and Wolverine, they're donezo. They don't exist. Go to quick play if you want to play those characters.
But, yeah.
That's
but,
nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, with the Human Torch, he also has this team up with his sister, the Invisible Woman, where he gets the... It's the same one as Mr. Fantastic, where he gets the shield that gives DR, gives him a little bit extra shielding, and some HP over time. Yep.
Sick.
The Human Torch... Oh, also, if you guys didn't know, this is something I just learned. For the Human Torch's ult, for people out there playing the Human Torch, you do a little bit of AoE damage from around your body when you hit Q. It does like 40 damage, so keep that in mind. You also get a 30% DR during your ult. That 8 seconds of your ult, you get 30% DR. So be aware of that, so you can be more aggressive with that ult. And if you use the Invisible Woman thing beforehand, and then you pop your ult, you have even more damage reduction.
That's insane,
and then the thing
hooked, good lord.
Yeah. More.
So yeah. I've been having a lot of fun on the Human Torch. Probably going to be one of my new mains. Like, I'm probably going to put a lot of time on him.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Yeah, I really like him.
I'm about to just start calling you the Fantastic Mr. Conrad, because that's
dude,
all you
I'm thinking
are playing
about
as Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Dude, they're good characters. They're fun.
They are, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, the Human Torch had a skin that came out with him. It is the Negative Zone skin. If you see it. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't really care for it. I think his base skin looks better. He looks so good in game. Have you noticed the way he crossed his legs while he flies around? He forms the number four.
Yeah.
I just noticed that today. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the way he flies. He just looks like his legs are crossed in a way that it forms a four.
And Vance, you can make the four with his fire thing. Like when you connect them, you throw them down and you can draw four and then connect them.
Hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Fantastic. It's awesome. I love the character. Super great. The other character that came out with the patch was the Thing. The Thing is much more simple than the Human Torch, right?
Mm-hmm.
He a big boy. Got like a lot of HP. He has the classic 1-2 boxing melee, and his right click, which has no cooldown, is an enhanced punch that does quite a bit of damage. If you didn't know, or notice, when you use that punch, you get 50 additional health, like extra shielding.
Huh,
so you can literally you spam that when you're in danger to almost live through a situation, right? His E jumps to an ally and gives that ally and himself damage reduction. I'm not sure how much. I never looked it up. But they get damage reduction. So it jumps them to an ally, can't jump towards an enemy, just an ally, gives them damage reduction.
Okay.
He has two charges of that. It's pretty cool. His shift is a charge, kind of like Maga's charge, really, from Overwatch.
Harder to control.
Yeah, he can't be stunned out of it. He can't be slept out of it. It's hard to control. But when the coolest thing about this is at the end, he does a knockback, right? Like a knockup. Mm-hmm. And that zone that he creates at the end of his charge, people can't use movement abilities to get out of that. They have to walk out.
Oh.
Yeah.
He is anti-CC.
Yeah. So Spider-Man swinging through that zone will stop swinging. It's kind of funny.
Like, just dead stop.
Yeah. Got to be careful playing Spider-Man swinging through this thing. And that's all his abilities he has. He has
His
ultimate. Yeah, I'm talking about the ultimate next. Oh, also his shift, his charge gives him like 200, I think, extra health while he's in that. So I'll talk about the combos here in a second. But his ult is a Reinhardt shatter on steroids, really.
Let's go.
Where he says it's Clobbering Town and slams the ground. It causes rocks to come up out of the ground, and everybody that's hit by it is stunned for like 2 seconds. It's quite a long stun.
That's a huge stun. Holy crap.
Yeah. And it happens so fast, it's hard to predict, because he's just like, it's Clobbering Town. Boom, stun.
Yeah,
it's like, wow. Cool. Yeah, it's hard to react with like support ults and stuff. Yeah. So the Thing is pretty easy to play, I think, but he's super countered, I feel, by flying characters.
Well, if he's got to get up to him and punch him, then
a meatball.
Yeah, he like I said, he can only jump to allies. He can't jump to enemies. So like flying characters, he's donezo. They like really punch him. I also don't think he's a good tank by himself. I think the best way to play him is with like a Hulk or a Captain America. Hear me out. Hear me out. The Hulk or the Captain America, jump in. You E to the Captain America, jump in with them. That gives the Captain America, the Hulk, and you damage reduction. And then they get out, and you can use your shift to get out, and that gives you like 200 HP. And then you just repeat that cycle with your other tank. Just like pop, 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 pop.
That's pretty sick synergy, honestly.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I think that's how the best way to play him. And then, you know, you just clobber people. You punch him. He's fun. He's fun to play.
I saw a cool combo with him with, oh, I don't know if you might talk about it, but Spider-Man and the Thing's combo. Have you seen that?
No.
Okay, so Spider-Man dives in. The Thing jumps to him, does clobber in time. Spider-Man ults in the middle of him. And they just, like, slingshot each other, like, every time for that combination. It's insane.
Yeah.
Because it just pops him up, and Spider-Man's like, ooh. You get a web. Mm-hmm. But yeah, okay. I thought that was fire.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, they did a skin with him, which is the skin, like I've been saying, they had to do with him. They released the trench coat skin, you know, the classic Ben Grimm in a boiler hat with the trench coat. And he has one of the sickest animation or the sickest NPC screens where he's just like taking detective notes and puts his notepad in his pocket.
that's the sick thing.
A coin. Yeah. It's pretty sick, dude. If you look at it, I love the Thing, man. The Thing is cool. Ben Grimm is a cool character. I love it. Mm. All right.
He also can throw Wolverine.
Yeah.
Like great.
Like
so he throws Wolverine now, and then jumps to the Wolverine.
Yeah,
there's some things I want to test because I don't know if you could do something stupid like put a Hulk at one end of the map and a Wolverine at the other map, and the Wolverine or the Thing throws the Wolverine over to the Hulk and the Hulk can throw him back. I don't know if it can work like that. I don't know if there's a cooldown on that team up for both of them combined. I'm not sure. But that could be pretty crazy because you could really get Wolverine a lot of places. You could literally just anywhere on the map, man. Oh, also cool thing that you can do is the Thing can throw the Wolverine, and then you can eat after the Wolverine as soon as you throw him, so you dive in with him, so you throw him and then follow him.
So hang on, here's the strat, right? Like, if you want to get, the race to the spawn door, you just have Hulk throw Wolverine, Thing leap to Wolverine, pick up Wolverine, throw Wolverine, leap to Wolverine.
Yes.
That is the fastest movement speed you will ever see in that game, probably.
I don't know, because it takes a second to wind up the throw.
I mean, even also, still,
his dive isn't like super far. It's a decent amount. I haven't really tested him in practice, but it's pretty far.
All right. Oh, also, they released a new map. It's a new hybrid map. I can't remember the term for it in Marvel Rivals, but it's hybrid. You know, you have to capture the point and then the cart, then push the cart. But it's a
you can do
Empire
it.
Of Eternal Night. And it's Central Square?
No, yeah, Central Park.
Central Park?
Oh, yeah. Is this the thing about, I heard about Blade or whatever? There's something about Blade on it?
Yeah.
Dude, Blade is, he's locked up on the third point. When you spawn in on the third point, he's like chains. How do you feel about that?
Well, hang on.
Well,
in his month of
during
the
this
year.
Time of year, I didn't like to see my boy in chains. But you know what? I'm happy to see my boy at all.
Maybe it isn't so much about him being in the chains as the fact that he's gonna break those chains.
There's the symbolism.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go.
Squirrel Girl has a lot of stuff in that map too. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, no, when you are on attack, you spawn the first point, you spawn in on at Squirrel Girl's treehouse.
Yeah, I was like, this is not what I was expecting.
And then you step out immediately, and there's the squirrel copter. Did you see that?
Yeah, I was like, what the hell? It's funny. Yeah,
it's pretty silly. And then, it's crazy, though, because, the environmental storytelling that Marvel Rivals has done with this map is kind of insane. Because, you start in the Squirrel Girl's house, then you go out, and you, at the first point, you free Rataskar, I forget, but it's a big giant squirrel. From Norse mythology, it's the squirrel of the world tree that Dracula has kidnapped to do dark magic with. Yeah, no, this is the story Marvel Rivals is telling. And you free him, and then you have to escort him to Dracula and use him to break the spell and fight Dracula at the end. That's like the story the map is trying to tell.
I'm just going to say it. Overwatch can never. They cooking.
Yeah. Marvel Rivals has got good storytelling so far.
Yeah. These last two maps, Midtown and Central Park, have just done so well with, like, the environment, like, telling the story through the game modes. It's just crazy. And then, like, you can go back and, like, through and read the comic book pages as you unlock them. There's a lot going on. Like it shouldn't have been a surprise that Blade has been captured, because it's kind of, like, was hinted at heavily in the comic books and stuff that you could unlock, so.
Neat.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, no. Dope map. Love it. I love it. All right. So, what do we want to jump right into next? Do we want to talk patch notes first, or should I talk to you about DPS players?
Oh, man.
Well,
I really love hearing you talk.
God, you guys are killing me on the quacks today, man.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
God.
You're going to be quacking a lot.
I'm going to be quacking a lot.
Quacking. Mother quackers. What is it?
I don't know. Let's do the patch notes first, okay. And then we'll do the hatred.
All right, stand by, duelists.
you are officially on notice. This is coming.
I'm coming for you. Okay, let's talk some patch notes. I'm gonna pull them up. Here we go. All right, first we got a buff to Captain America. I love it. He can shield himself mid-leap now, so when he jumps in the air, he can hold his shield up. Great, just quality of life.
Yeah.
So his Vibranium Saw, his E, his shield he throws ricochets, or its projectile speed has been increased from 60 to 80, so it goes a little bit faster. And yeah, it goes a lot faster after it bounces off the ground now, too. They reduced his ultimate charge from 3,100 to 2,800.
So that means he's ulting more?
He's alting more.
Great.
But his alt is just another support alt, really. It just does it. Are we back on Twitch, by the way?
Yeah, I can see us now.
Okay, I fixed it. I'm a genius.
I wouldn't go that far, but sure.
And now, so remember how Captain America used to work, where he punches twice, and then his next four melee attacks turn into a shield throw?
Yes.
Now you can now they changed it so you can choose to go back to regular fisticuffs instead of throwing the shield. Now this has big implications against shield tanks in specific, because now instead of hitting the Doctor Strange twice and then having to attack his shield with your shield, you can now punch through his shield instead.
How do you switch between the two?
So if your melee button will allow you to punch and your left click will throw shield.
Oh,
yeah.
Neat.
Yep. So what do you guys think about Captain America?
Oh, looking good, man. I'm ready to Thor and Captain America up.
Dude, Captain America is my tank.
Yeah, we know. That was the whole premise of your controversy last week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for Cap. I mean, he's the one of the only Vanguards that I do play, but I don't play him enough to care, to be honest.
I think Captain America is about to be stronger than anybody recognizes, especially with the thing. I'm thinking we're in a dive meta. That's just my early indications.
Great.
I haven't really played comp. I haven't played comp since Friday, so. All right. Doctor Strange. They reduced his base health from 650 to 600.
Oof. I get it. He was way strong. But...
Yeah, dude. And it doesn't stop him from being played. He's still being
absolutely. He's still good, yeah.
He still pumps the damage. You just have to be a little bit more careful now. And with his shield, that's really a combined, like, 1,300 health still. It's still a lot.
Yeah.
Or 1,400 health, because his shield's 800. So, yep. And people will still swap to him. And at the last second, they get a portal point. So, none of that changes. All right, Groot. They increased Thornlash Wall's placement range from 15 meters to 18 meters, so he now can put out his walls a little bit further. I don't think that's a big deal.
Yeah,
I don't think it's a big deal, but it might be meaningful.
Help him defend more on long range maps, like long light sight lens.
Yeah, that's about all that does, really. Unless they can do some weird corner cheese strats where he, like, forces people to have to go completely all the way around while he's standing.
He has some
in a location.
Cheesy strats.
Maybe it breaks Groot, but I don't think it will. All right, Magneto, the master of magnetism. Iron Volley, his primary projectile, has been decreased or increased from 35 damage to 40 damage.
Okay.
And they increased the metallic curtain's energy consumption, so his shield, from 50 a second to 65 a second. And maximum duration has gone down from 2 seconds to 1.5. So they increased his lethality with his primary fire, but decreased some of his defensive capabilities by decreasing the amount of time he can keep his shield up.
Oh, nerf. Buff?
I think I would call, so especially as a Vanguard, I think that is more of a nerf, having less shield capability.
Yeah, well, that's what kind of what they're trying to do, is they're trying to stop people from
double shield,
double, like, relying on shield tanks as much as they are. They're trying to change, like, shake up the meta a little bit by getting people, like, nerfing shield tanks to get people to play some of these other tanks that are just not seeing the same.
They want us to dive. It's okay. It's all right.
They want the dive.
And Magneto and Doctor Strange were just the most played tanks by far. Like, by far. It's like, great. Doctor Strange just was always good, and Magneto ult was just constantly used to counter Cloak and Dagger ult. So.
Yeah.
All right, Thor. They removed the shared cooldown after his awakening rune ends. So, you know when he throws lightning, changes and throws his lightning?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there used to be a 2 second delay after that ended before he could use another ability. Now that's gone. Now he can use other abilities again.
You can just chain it so well. So nice. Yeah. It's
cool.
Love it.
I know some people are like, I don't think this change is a big deal. I think this change is a super big deal. Mm-hmm. I think, because remember, every time he uses his ability, he gets 100 to 200 extra health when he uses abilities. So now you can you can go into awakening state. You can pop your E after that ends. And if that hits a few people, you can go immediately back into awakening state and keeping up your DPS. Like, that does a shit ton of DPS. And it also gives you 200 extra health, right? So he's going to be super more survivable. Also, if you need to get away after an awakening rune, now you can fly away really easy too, just like, well, right. I'm out.
Bye.
So I know some people don't think, just that it's a quality of life thing, but I actually think this is a super buff that eliminated one of his windows of vulnerability. So
that just made him more of a dive tank, because he just jumps in, goes with the ascension state or whatever, and then is able to just jump right back out.
Yeah, it just made him better in every way, you know.
Yeah,
it's just,
I agree.
Like, yeah, I think it's a way more impactful than people think. So all right, Venom. They adjusted the knockback effect of Frenzied Arrival, which is his dive, from vertical to inward with an angle of 75 degrees. So now when he dives, people gum into him. like pushing him away. Yeah.
Vertical to what?
Vertical to inward. So it used to make people pop straight up. Now it pulls them in towards Venom when he dives on.
Am I being pumped?
I didn't hear it. I'm going to have to play the tapes back.
That just sounded all right. Yeah, yeah. Inward. Not
okay. I see. Yeah.
Inward.
Inward. Not. No.
Your mind's in the wrong place, sir.
All right, we're gonna listen to this. Everybody's gonna listen. Yeah. Like, whoa. They did what? Okay.
And they also reduced the energy cost of his ultimate from 2,800 to 2,500. Right.
Yeah.
I think that's an okay change. Venomalt is so not really useful anyways. Like,
yeah.
So giving it to him more often is fine. Yeah, it's fine. It'll just let him stay in the fight longer. Decent Venom buffs. I think Venom's going to be a lot better now, actually, but we'll see. Well. All right, on to the duelists. Black Widow. They increased her magazine capacity for her rifle from 8 to 15.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, she can now take 15 shots before she has to reload.
That's 7 more bullets. Is that 7 more bullets?
That is 7 more bullets.
That's almost double.
Almost double.
Whoa! Math!
Wow, numbers.
Yeah, dude.
No, that's insane.
Yeah, that's pretty deep.
I don't know, man. They're not landing. Most Black Widows aren't landing those shots anyways, and her reload wasn't long or anything before. There wasn't, like, this window where, you know, it's all the Widow's reloading, go in and after. At least I don't feel that way. So I feel like this is kind of a nothing burger change.
I don't know. I mean, if people are hitting 30% of their shots and they now get an extra 50% actually more than 50%, an extra 100% chance to shoot.
What did you?
I guess it makes it harder to dive her, because now she probably won't be reloading when you dive her. So she'll probably just be able. She'll, because how it works is like you dive the Black Widow, then she stuns you with her E, and then shoots you point blank in the face. So,
you know, I'm being real. I played Black Widow for 5 minutes and I was like, this is garbage.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
They also buffed her ultimate. They increased the slow it infects from 55% to 80%. So you're 80% slowed in her ult now, which is a lot. And it also applies a 15% vulnerability now. So you're taking 15% more damage.
Oof.
So pretty significant buff to her ultimate.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty good.
So we'll see how that pans out, because that 15% vulnerability could really change a fight. Yep. So we'll see. We'll see. All right, Hawkeye. They increased his base health from 250 to 275.
Woo!
Yep. And they reduced the projectile damage of Blast Arrow, which is the one you have to change to, from 20 to 15. But they increased the spell field damage from 25 to 32. So now the explosion's bigger, but the direct hits.
The only reason I ever use that arrow is to destroy terrain. That is it. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the damage it does.
Yep, no one's going to be using your blast arrow still. Mm. They reduced the cooldown for Crescent Slash from 15 seconds to 12 seconds. That's his knockback.
That's pretty good.
So that's 3 seconds, yep. And they increased the draw, they buffed his ult. They increased the bow draw speed.
He's having a stroke.
Okay.
Florida man, save him.
I thought there were numbers. I thought there was numbers. There aren't. They just increased his bow draw speed, so he draws really fast now and his ult and fires a lot faster. And they raised the damage multiplier from 1.2 to 1.35. So pretty significant buff to even it. Like, here's the thing now. So, like, even if you aren't shooting ghosties or after images during his ult, he's just rapid firing full power headshots now. So you can just, like, instantly delete someone.
That's
pretty
good.
Question, though. Mm-hmm. Did they do anything to Hela?
Yeah, we're about to talk about it. They buffed her.
Turns out E comes after A.
So, so Hawkeye's buffs are useless. Continue.
No, I think Hawkeye's buffs aren't useless. I think they might be significant. I just don't know. I just no one's dying to Hawkeye like they were when the game first came out, right? All right. Hela, the damage fall off of her primary fire, which is Night Sword Thorn, at 30 meters will be changed from 70% to 80%. So she does more damage at her fall off range now. So she can two shot people easier at her fall off rate. She can two shot squishies at her max range now.
Oh, okay. Oh, so yeah, that's pretty nice.
Great. Just what she needed.
All right. They changed the shit. Oh, quack. They changed the quack out of Iron Fist. They pretty much made him a new character, and I don't know how I feel about it. I don't think I like it. So they reduce, like, this is hard to explain, and it's hard to read the patch notes and just so people get it, but they reduced on his normal attacks, they reduce the amount of damage they do. And when he blocks, they reduce the amount of damage it does, but they added a percent max HP thing to it. So now, like, when he goes into his super punches, like, he does percentage-based HP damage now. So he has a slower kill time on squishies, but has a higher kill time a slower kill time on squishies, but a faster kill time on tanks.
Does that mean Iron Fist is going to stop diving the DPS now and start just jumping in on the tanks?
No, I think he's still going to try diving DPS too. I just think now that he just has more and now he has I think now his gameplay style is like a little bit diversified,
I guess. I don't like percent max health damage though. That's awful.
I don't like that either. That's how I don't like, we'll have to see how it pans out. They increased his base health from 250 to 300.
Okay.
They increased the maximum bonus health converted from blocking from 150 to 200.
Mm.
And they They increase the maximum health granted by Harmony Recovery from 50 to, which is his meditate, from 50 to 150, but they added a decay of it for 20 health, 5 health per second. So now he goes up higher, but it decays. Also, each primary attack now outside of his empowered punches reduce. They changed the cooldown reduction from his for his block from 1 second to 1.5. So now his primary punches give him his block faster again.
Okay.
So they really overhauled Iron Fist, almost a new character. We'll have to see how it pans out. I've heard some high-ranked people really talk negatively about it before it was implemented, but I don't know if their opinions have changed since they've had a couple of days to play it. Yep. All right. Iron Man got buffed. They increased Unibeam, which is his chest laser, from 120 damage per second to 140 damage per second.
I already felt like that laser did a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm. It does. It did. And they increased it in overdrive, so after he empowers it, from 180 damage per second to 190 damage per second. So now, yeah. But they so they increase his chest laser with while he's played normally, but as we'll get in later, they nerfed the team up with the Hulk. So they move some of the power from the team up, so Iron Man isn't only played in the team up, so now that he has a little bit more kill power outside the team up. Magic. They decrease the damage dealt by Demon's Rage from 80 a second to 72 a second. So the Demon she leaves behind got nerfed a little bit. And they reduced the energy cost of her ultimate from 3,700 to 3,400.
So she's going to be screaming Death Child a lot more.
Dark Child. Yeah. I think this is fine. Like, you should play Magic if you don't agree with those, because farming her ult is actually kind of hard. And you really don't get it that often in the game. So I'm fine with these changes. Yeah. So they made her a little bit less lethal outside of ult, but now she can ult some more. All right, here's the one that really bothers me. They nerfed Mr. Fantastic under the guise of buffs. I am tilted. I hate this. Okay, woo. So let's talk about it. They increased the spell field radius after landing flexible elongation from 2.5 meters to 5 meters. So now his hump, where he grabs and humps towards an enemy or an ally, now it has a bigger AoE splash damage, right? But they increased its cooldown from 8 seconds to 10 seconds.
Okay.
And this is the buff, air quotes here, buff, to his ultimate ability. They increased the base damage from 50 to 70, and they increased the alt charge from 2,800 to 3,400.
Wow.
And they added a damage decay mechanism that spell field damage starts to decrease at 3 meters and will meet a maximum reduction of 50 damage at 100 or at 10 meters, right? So they made it cost more. They added fall off for the damage and they added base damage. So the base damage. So, all right, what do you guys think?
I played them since the buffs. So I thought I was stronger using the ult. Like, I've gotten more kills with it. I never get kills with it.
No longer a support bait now.
You've been playing them a lot more than I have, so.
Yeah, let's talk about it a little bit. Let's talk about it. This is my problem with it. One, the 2 extra seconds they added onto his E means that he's going to be going into his inflated state less often. So he's going to get less alt charge originally. Just less alt charge throughout the game. And he'll also, his damage is going to go down significantly throughout the course of a game. Just because he is not inflating as much as he is because of the 2 extra seconds on the E. Which is 4 seconds in total for both E's. So that really does add up over the course of the game, right? So he's inflating less often, which means, you know, he's not piercing shields as often. He's not doing massive AoE damage as often. So he's building less alt charge already. The increase to his alt charge is pretty significant. Now, he was farming alt really quickly before, but now it's slow to get his alt charge sometimes if you're not popping off. And the damage fall off is huge. A huge nerf to his alt, even with the extra damage. Because now
you have to land on people.
you have to land on people, and there's enough delay in between each bounce that you can heal or move or do whatever you need to not take the damage. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think it's an overall nerf demand, Mr. Fantastic, which I think is crazy. But
we saw that coming. You thought the buffs were coming.
Yeah, I apologize to the community. What obviously happened is that I was so handsome and talented at Mr. Fantastic that NetEase took notice and they nerfed it. So I apologize to all you out there for my excellence.
At least somebody's taking responsibility for this.
I'm sorry. Moon Knight, they didn't really... They fixed his ult, pretty much.
Did, right? So it doesn't double damage anymore?
Yeah, it doesn't like double damage anymore.
And you can get out the way.
And you can get out the way. Yeah, you just don't get killed by... It still does a shit ton of damage if you stay in it. Quack. But you can move. You can move a little bit back. You can get out of it easier. So you're not like... You don't hear the move and you're dead, right?
Yeah.
The move! the Scarlet Witch. They gave her 100 shield for when she ults. So she has more HP when she hits Q. So she's a little bit harder to kill in her ult. Still easy. I mean, if you die to Scarlet Witch ult, that's on you still.
Yeah.
Unless you does something super creative with it. That's you. That's on you. Spider-Man. They reduced his web clusters energized time from 3 to 2.5 seconds. This is a huge buff. In my opinion.
What are the web clusters doing?
The web clusters are his shooting things. They change the effects of all his other abilities. They make him do more damage, right? So when he's out of web... So this really... how you should really think about this is it's increased his uptime by a lot. So he doesn't have to hide to recharge his clusters as much. So he's just in the fight more, so you're going to notice him more, and he's going to be much more of a problem now. And...
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. I don't think this makes him meta or anything, but you're definitely going to see more Spider-Mans harassing your backline a lot more. Yeah. It's a pretty big buff. It's the one people have been asking for, too. It's like, let us use our web clusters more. And I think it's a fair buff, but you're definitely going to notice more Spider-Mans, for sure, that are just doing more better. And you're going to be like, these Spider-Mans are insane, because now they don't have to, like, recharge their web clusters in the backline. They're going to be in your face 24-7. So.
Oh, boy.
Star-Lord? I don't understand this one at all. This is one of my problems with the patch. Overall, good patch, but I think this is one of my problems with it. They increased his rocket propulsion's maximum energy from 1,200 to 1,800.
A 50% increase? So that means he can fly around faster more?
Yep.
Okay.
Fly a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Now, they didn't... Now, what? There is one thing to consider, though, is like they... They didn't change how fast he gets the fuel back.
Oh.
So if he uses it all, it takes him a lot longer to charge back up to max. But if he's at max, he flies a lot longer, right? So we'll have to see how that pans out. But Star-Lord is already really good. If you're a cracked Star-Lord, is like insane. So, okay. I don't think they would necessarily nerf Storm. I think she's still going to be permabanned, but they definitely changed some things about her, like moved around her strengths. So they added for her primary, they changed the damage fall off at 30 meters from 70% to 60%.
Okay.
So, yeah. They reduced her damage increase for her self buff, her passive self buff from 16% to 12%. However, they increased the damage for allies in that field from 8% to 10%. So she gives herself less of a buff, but her allies get more of a buff. So they just move the power around a little bit. And they reduce the damage increase from enhanced thunder. So after she amps it up from 30% to herself to 25%.
That's a significant debuff.
Oh, nerf. Yeah. I mean, she's still good. I think she's still crazy good. But yeah. So strategists. Thank God. This toy out of my face, cat. All right. He'll just keep bringing it. He plays fetch. Okay. They increased the damage of his primary fire from 55 to 60.
Who is this? I'm sorry?
Adam Warlock.
Oh, okay. You just said strategist and then didn't say a name.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my bad. The damage fall off at 40 meters will be changed from 50% to 60%. Yep.
So he does more damage at far away targets.
Yep. And they increase the healing provided by Soul Bond, which is his link, from 10 a second to 15 a second.
Okay.
All right. Now, what we all have been waiting for, what we've all been waiting for, the Cloak and Dagger nerf.
Yeah.
Right? Let's go.
So they increase the alt chart, her alt charge, from 3,400 to 4,000.
Ooh.
So lovely, lovely.
Pretty significant. You can no longer stack lanes. So if you stack lanes, they don't get extra damage or health. Right?
Okay.
They increase its healing, though, from 220 a second, each lane from 220 a second to 250 a second, whatever. And they reduce the duration overall of each lane from 10 seconds to 8 seconds. And they removed in the pause time between segments. So when you know that pause she takes per dash, they decrease that from 1 second to 0.67 seconds. So, yeah.
33% faster dash.
Yep. Yep. So it pretty much that makes it harder for Magneto to meatballer during her ult, right? Because that's what he waits for, is that window where she stops to like hit her with the free meteor, right? And they increase the vulnerability inflicted on enemies by Terror Cape from 20 to 28%, which is pretty significant. So they moved around some power. They nerfed her ult a lot for sure, but they made Cloak's E significantly better. So
neat.
All right, Invisible Woman. They increase the energy cost of her boundary, her ultimate, from 4,000 to 4,300.
Okay.
Loki, they increased his alt charge his alt cost from 3,400 to 4,000, but increased his magazine size from 10 to 12.
Yeah.
So okay. As you can see, they're moving for some of these significant nerfs. They're moving power around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luna Snow, where they increased the energy cost for her ultimate from 4,000 to 4,500.
Ooh. Mm. So they're not going to have it every 30 seconds. They're going to have it every 45 seconds.
Exactly, which makes a huge difference over the course of a game.
Yeah.
All right, and the team ups that were changed. Luna Snow and Iron Fist's team up. They increase its healing amount from 50 to 75, and the slow it inflicts from 20% to 30%.
Okay.
Magic, Black Panther, and Psylocke's team up. They reduce the rewind time from 5 seconds to 3 seconds, and they change the conversion of lost health to armor from 0.5 to 0.8. And they reduce the rewind time. Oh, yeah, pretty much the same. They just reeled it twice. The Iron Man team up with the Hulk. They reduced the overdrive damage, the chest beam, from 220 to 200 a second. So it's still good, but now it's only a difference of 10 damage from not having a Hulk to Hulk. And they reduced, and they didn't change his primary fire, by the way, which still has increased damage. And they reduced the Hulk's team up anchor health bonus from 150 to 100, so the Hulk has 50% or 50 less HP, which is kind of huge in like a tanking thing. So
yeah.
So this might free Hulk into competitive play. We'll see. They changed the Moon Knight and Cloak and Dagger team up. Now while he's in the invisibility field, he gains 25 health per second. So that makes it actually useful.
Yeah, it's actually something to use. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you get healed through that anyway?
Mm-hmm. All right, and they changed the Spider-Man and Venom team up. So the suit explosion, they changed it from 4 seconds to 1 second, but they replaced the 50% DR with invincibility.
What?
So he's now he's invincible for a second. Yeah.
Invincibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And Penny Parker got the same one, but they. She gets invincibility, but hers lasts 2 seconds instead of 1 second.
Yeah, just what she needs. 2 seconds of invulnerability.
Invincibility.
Whatever. Same thing.
And those are the patch notes. I know a little bit of a boring segment, but I always feel like these things are important to talk about. What do you guys think about the first half season patch?
I think it's been good overall, I would say. I'm liking most of the things they've changed. Iron Fist is weird. Star Lord is weird. But yeah, overall, I'm liking it.
I enjoy it. They are taking power away from the strategists, and they are giving it to the vanguards, it seems. Which, that's fine. We're about to see GOAT meta. Here it comes.
I don't know about that. I think DPS are still super strong in this game. And they have game-changing alts. But yeah, no, I love it. I love the patch. I question a couple things, like the Iron Fist thing I question. I question the Hela nut buffs. I question, you know, the Star-Lord buff. But, like, I like how aggressive they're being with their changes. Like, they're not like a... I almost said that word there. Yeah, they're not like tiptoeing around it. They're like going in there and they're making significant changes, like all over the place. They try to make the game better. Yeah. So I really like the as much as some of the support players, we're gonna talk about this in a little bit, hate how the support nerfs. I think for the health of the game, it was very much needed, because we'll talk about it later. We'll get to that later. But it was needed, and I think they're healthy changes. So. All right. You guys want to talk about my problems with DPS players? Duelists?
Let's do it.
Do we have enough time?
We got time. We just got a few more topics. Okay. So the first thing I want to go, and I have a problem with, and this is the obvious, the elephant in the room, as I say, is duelists refuse to flex.
Yes, we do.
It's like and I do that too when I play duelists, but you know, maybe it is problematic. So we're starting off easy right there. Here I'm coming at you psychologically. Is I think duelists all have a hero complex, you know, main character syndrome, as it is. I think everybody locks in duelists thinking that they're it, that they're about to pop off. And that, you know, they're God's gift to gaming, and they're going to be great. And then nothing can go wrong because they're on duelist kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, that's usually how that goes, right? I'm going to carry this game.
For sure. For sure. I'm sure every duelist that ever has thought that has carried every game they've ever played.
Which yeah, definitely not.
My ex things, like, with that hero complex, y'all are actually bad at the game. And I think out of like an understanding of like the macro of the game and like the complexities of the games, duelists have the lowest understanding, right? Very pea-sized brains as it is. And I say this as someone who enjoys duelists. Yeah. I'm just saying
attacked right now and I don't like it.
They have one thing. They're like, shoot the enemy. Shoot enemy, get kills. That's all they think. But they go about it the wrong way. That's what I'm saying. Stop shaking your head at me. They go about it the wrong way.
I thought the point of the game was to get the most frags. That's what every shooter game is. I don't care if it's objective-based.
You know what helps with getting those frags is having good positioning, which duelists do not.
Game sense.
Like, right? Game sense, dude. Nope. You know what you should be doing as duelists? You should be contesting off angles. You should be taking these off angle flanks. You should be protecting these off angles. These are things they don't do. They want to sit behind the tank and then complain about dying with not getting any kills. That's what duelists want to do. If you want get kills, you got to be a risk taker. You got to protect the off angles to stop your supports from getting flanked. You got to make it hard for the enemy DPS to do those things. Right?
No, that's not my priority.
Yeah.
Shoot
and head. That's You know, it's easier to do that if you're in a good spot to do it. Just saying. All right. And then, as much as I've gone after supports the last couple of weeks, I will give it to you guys here, is that duelists like to send it down mid, instantly feed, and then blame the support players. Even though when the duelist dives, the backline at the actual wrong time and all six people turn to shoot him, that's not the support player's fault. They can't cure you through 4,000 damage. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But
like that
I can't heal dead.
If you're playing Spider-Man, if you're playing Spider-Man, Magic, Black Panther, any of these characters and you're struggling, I'm gonna give you some advice now that's gonna help you climb. You don't go in until your team is already fighting.
No, really?
No.
I'm
the engager.
I'm the duelist.
No. You don't do
that's
that.
That's what it means, right?
Here's the thing. If the team is fighting and the enemy supports are worried about keeping their tank up, you can jump them And now, even if you lose the fight against the support, for that 5-6 seconds while you're distracting the supports, the enemy tanks aren't getting healed.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to everybody? Or, on the bright side, you do win that fight and kill the supports. Now they're not getting healed, right? Or you dive the DPS while the supports are busy. Now they're not going to get peeled, right? They're less likely to get peeled, right? It's all about timing. If you're really struggling on DPS, but you have good mechanics, I almost guarantee it's your positioning and your timing.
I'm not getting better. I'm not practicing. I'm not going to follow our own advice, and I'm going to continue to complain.
And if you duelists have a problem, come take it up with me in the Discord.
Right now.
Do it. Or the Spotify comments. I'll go to battle anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'll do it anywhere. Okay, next thing I want to talk about is, and we brunch this here, is everybody's got to stop saying, here's the thing. It has been said approximately 2 million times. It's been said approximately 2 million times since Friday, and it has outlived its welcome.
Nope.
It's such a funny pun. Right
until the season's over. I'm going to say in every match in chat. But here's the thing.
All right. Another thing I want to talk about is the implication of the support nerfs. I was going through the Reddit and the Steam forums earlier, and there's some real people that don't know what to do, and they're trying to seek help online because after the support nerfs, they haven't been able to win games, and they've been losing rank already.
Whoa, no way.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I don't want to sound mean, but I was very serious when I thought supports were boosted. And this is because of the gameplay loop that worked for support players, right? It's where you farmed all off your tank in 30 seconds, and then you just use all, and then you had all every 30 seconds, right? When you have support alts that do that amount of AoE healing all the time, that negates a lot of the game that actually, the things that are matter, like the mid fight and how you use your other abilities. Like, that should matter as much more than your ultimate usage should at sometimes. It negates positioning because everywhere you step, you're immortal, right? Like that's why I said support players are boosted. It's just because the gameplay cycle that led to wins was just farm ult as fast as you can and use them.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of boring. Honestly. So here's my advice to you guys. I'm not gonna just talk shit about you. I'm gonna give you some advice now to climb on support. And I say this as someone who plays a lot of Luna Snow and other support characters, is right. This game is all about trading resources, right? Any hero shooter is, like, right? So you really need to think about, now that you can't rely on your ultimate as much, about how you're using your abilities. Because let's say I'm playing Spider-Man and you're playing Luna Snow, and I saw that you use your Ice Cube Freeze and you missed. You are now in a 12-second window a vulnerability where I know you won't be frozen if I go diving, right? So people are looking for those things. So every time you use an ability, you should ask yourself, what value am I getting out of this ability? And be subjective with yourself when you miss or you didn't get value. Because when if I see you on Cloak and Dagger and you use your right click, your bubble, now you don't have that bubble to heal your tanks, or now you don't have that bubble to heal yourself. Now you're in a window of vulnerability. You need to recognize that and play accordingly. You position yourself accordingly. So when you know that your abilities are off cooldowns, you're in a vulnerable state. Like, you are now open to dives, and that's going to happen. So you need to position yourself in a way that your teammates can help you now, right? That's why you're struggling to climb, is because now these other abilities mean a lot more. So you have to be real with yourself about how you're using them, right? Does that make sense to everybody?
Fire take. Applause. Yeah.
Yes.
Welcome to chat.
Right.
Give him a PhD for that dissertation.
Yeah. those support abilities are super strong and they have super value, right? Your right click on Cloak and Dagger can outheal a Spider-Man ult, right? You should be aware of that. And if they have a Spider-Man, you should probably be saving that ability for when the Spider-Man comes to dive you to use his ult, because he's coming for you because you're the support and you're keeping the enemy team alive with your ridiculous healing numbers, right?
Yeah. And that Cloak ability, Iron Man ult. Yeah. Use that
and now the game has become a lot harder for you, because now also your mid game has to be improved, your neutral game and how you use your abilities has to be improved, as well as your ultimate usage, because you're getting ultimate less. You have to be more critical with yourselves about how you're using your ultimate and what value you got out of the ultimate when you used it. If you ask yourself that after every ultimate and every ability, is how did I use this, Did I get value from it? And could I have used it better? And you're real with yourself and, you know, just don't blame everybody else. You will climb. You will get better. Right. Because the higher you climb and the better people get, every ability is kept tracking. Right. Especially as you start getting into this like Celestial Eternity lobbies, like every ability is kept track of. That people are waiting for these moments of vulnerability that where they know you can't save yourself to come for you. And that's how Smurfs beat up on you. That's what they're looking for, right? They're looking for you using your abilities and jumping you after you use them, right? So just be critical with that, and we'll move on. You're welcome. You probably all saw this. I just want to touch on this briefly. But there was the director of America and his team in Seattle got laid off from NetEase, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I saw that.
And people are freaking out about this as they think it's going to affect the game negatively. So I just wanted to like bring this up. It's like, one, we don't know what that team did for Marvel Rivals. If they were involved.
I thought we did know. I thought they were like level design or something. Level design.
They helped out the original team that was doing Marvel Rivals.
Okay, so they what I'm saying though is they were mostly involved, from what I'm reading or understanding, I might be wrong on this, is that they were mostly involved in the early production of the game. So after full release, they just weren't needed. So it wasn't that they're fired because the game is going down and things are bad. It's just they were an unneeded team that was bleeding money.
Like, they were on a contract and they weren't needed anymore. Yeah. Their job was done. Yeah.
I don't think this is a case to freak out about, oh gosh, the Marvel Rivals, no game developer is safe. I think this is just one of those unfortunate circumstances, I'm sure. But it wasn't like, you know, nasty in nature.
It does happen though. It's brutal out there. Hopefully them people get jobs again, you know. I'm sure
they will, because they have Marvel Rivals on their resume and it's like such a banger, right? That's gonna look really good. So I wouldn't worry about that. All right. I want to talk about my personal hero that I hate more than any other hero in the whole game, that I just want to see gone forever because he is overstatted, overkitted, and just a bunch of bullpuck.
Jeff
That's
the
Bucky. Bucky Barnes.
I was expecting Jeff too.
I hate, vehemently hate the Winter Soldier. One, everybody in the game is a Lord Winter Soldier because he's a crutch character that you swap to when you're losing. And that's so terrible, right? You could, like, think about it like this. This is how I think about it. It's like, you could take away anything from Bucky's kit and he'd still be a good character. Think about it. You could take away the shields that he gets for using his abilities, he'd still be a good character. You could take away the slow off his E, he'd still be a good character. You could take away the fact that he reloads his shots every time he uses an abilities, and he'd still be a good character. You could reduce the time or put a limit on his ultimate, he'd still be a good character. You could take away any one of his other abilities, like take away his grab, he's still a good character. Like, take away his punch, he's still a good character. He's just good and overkitted, overstatted. Everybody plays him, and you are not good at the game, and I am tired of seeing the same pog from Bucky players who think they're doing God's work and that they're great at the game just because they spam again against a bunch of plats who keep funneling out of the spot.
Again.
I hate Bucky.
Wow.
I hate him.
Quack Bucky.
Quack Bucky.
All right. So, the last couple things I want to talk about today, because this episode is going a little bit long, is I want to talk about the importance of respectful conversation in the gaming community. Right? One of the things I was impressed about today with my community our small community that we developed in our Discord, is that we were able to have a legitimate conversation about smurfing and each other's takes on it and take away from other people without it getting nasty. Right? So whatever space you're in, right, the conversation will only progress and points will only get put across if you're not nasty and like throwing names around and saying horrendous things. Right? Mm-hmm. So I want that to be known, that I will not allow that in my community. And if you come in my community and you start saying nasty or horrendous things to other people because of their opinions, I will ban you and you will be gone. And all right, so that's important.
Before we move on, shout out though to NYC Horror Bro 6 and Spider Joe for bringing up the conversation and bringing this feedback to us about how things were said from the last episode.
Mm-hmm. And we got another concern is like, I don't consider myself high elo, really. I don't think GM is that high. I think GM's a real realistic goal for anybody who has enough time to put into the game. So I don't think I'm myself as that good at the game. I really don't, but I understand like some people might think I am, but I think in reality, I'm not that great. But there are people at the lower ranks that feel like their voices aren't being heard. So I want to make our podcast a space for low ranked people to be able to come and give out their opinions. Yeah. And, you know, like have the representation in the podcasting community that they deserve. So I welcome you guys to come to my Discord. And I'm going to create a channel where you can post your stuff about your issues or whatnot. And we'll read it. We'll talk about it on the podcast. And also remember, we want to bring community members onto the podcast to give us your hot takes. So do that, right? Come be the representation you desire. Come. And
We're children. That's all it is. We're just children.
We're 30-year-old men.
All right, dude.
Brian.
All right. Okay. So a little bit longer episode than I anticipated, but we wanted to do an episode this week, even though we did one last week because of the patch, and we wanted to talk about that early, so we're not a week late on that. And this will also put our podcast, because we're going back to every 2 weeks, in line with future releases.
Yes.
So outros. Boom. So final thoughts. Ooh. Final thoughts. Season 1.5.
Human Torch and the Thing looking all right. Fantastic Form, new meta? Question mark? Maybe. We'll see.
I have no idea about season 1.5 yet. Haven't played. Sounds dope. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Yeah, I think the season 1.5 has started off hot. The balance patch is fire. The characters are fire. One of them literally. The Thing is a rock solid. Thing
that's
too.
Two puns so, you have made now.
You're complaining about the Thing pun now. You're just trying to switch it up.
Yeah, but see, what I'm doing is original.
No.
And everybody else is just saying.
Quack up. Quack up. Quack up.
Quack up. Quack up. I know where you live.
I know where you live, too.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. I was literally at your house like a month ago.
And neither of you know where I live, so that's fine.
I know exactly.
I really don't know where you live.
Well, you know where I live, but you, on the other hand, don't.
All right. So please email us with questions or concerns or anything you want to email us about, really, at themarvelrivalsreview@gmail.com. Follow our Discord. It'll be in the description below. What am I missing?
Slur? No, I'm kidding.
All right. Whatever. Do your things. Say your tag yourselves. Whatever.
Plug. You need to write that word on your hand.
Yeah.
Plug yourselves.
Dahita work. Just doing the Marvel Rivals YouTube right now. Come like and subscribe.
And Vance Helsing Gaming and Dahita work thinks he's doing the YouTube. He's just uploading. I'm doing the editing. So
I have to make the thumbnails, and I also did the editing before you sent me the video.
You did one. You did one video edit, and all you did was you just used CapCut to autofill it.
Hey,
I even still had to edit the audio and the video for it.
Well.
Hot takes. See, now this is where the infighting begins. Anyways, Vance Helsing Gaming.
Yeah, it breaks down.
13 episodes in.
This is episode 14.
Episode 14. 14 episodes in. We're already about to kill each other.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got.
All right. And now I'm Conrad Gunther. You can always catch me streaming mad at twitch.tv/ConradGunther, where I am going to be playing a lot of the Human Torch, I think. Yep, like I said. Gmail, themarvelrivalsreview@gmail.com. Join the Discord. Description below.
Follow us. Follow us on any podcast of your choice thing. That's the thing. That's the thing you missed.
Yeah. Like, subscribe, leave a comment. Follow us on your podcasting application of choice. We've been reading all your comments on Spotify. We appreciate it. Thank you guys so much. The community is building quickly, slowly, but we're getting there. So please come join a bunch of cool dudes. All right. Have a good one. Peace.